Okay, beginning here on the top of Samech Chedem and Aleph, 6 lines down, the Gemara here is continuing to discuss the issue as to which machanot, which areas does a certain tumah get sent out of. We mentioned in yesterday's daf that there is the Machane Shechinah, Machane Leviah, and Machane Yisrael. And based on the psukim, we had the limudim that a tameh meit has to leave the Machane Shechinah, a tameh zav or zavah has to leave the Machane Leviah, and a mitzorah has to leave the Machane Yisrael, which the equivalent inside of Yerushalayim is the Machane Shechinah is the Mikdash itself, the Machane Leviah being Harabayit, and Machane Yisrael being the city of Yerushalayim, the city of Yerushalayim. Now, the Gemara discussed yesterday the status of certain adjunct types of tumah or ancillary tumot, like tumat asheretz, tumat nevelah, which we said were subsumed under tamei meit, and therefore they only had to leave Machane Shechinah. Then we spoke about Baal Keri, that was a subset of Zav, and therefore it had to leave, a Baal Keri had to leave both the Machane Shechinah and Machane Leviah. And then we had Mitzorah, which the Gemara did not find anything to place under that subset from the word Kol. Now the Gemara asks on that conclusion that we had yesterday, Meitave, Mitzorah Chamur Mizav, and Mitzorah is more stringent than a Zav in terms of its Tumah, the reasons for which we discussed yesterday. Zav chamor mitamei meit. In addition, a zav is more stringent than a tamei meit. Again, that which we discussed yesterday. Now, the statement in the Braita, which we're focusing on, yatsa bel keri. Bel keri is excluded. She tamei meit chamor mimenu, because a tamei meit is more stringent than it. So we know for sure that a tamei meit, the tumah of a tamei meit, is much more stringent than keri. Bel keri is only tumat erev, is for a single day, goes to the mikveh the next day or that day, and when the sun sets, the Tumah is gone. Whereas a Tameh Meit has a 7 days of Tumah, requires sprinkling by the Paraduma on the 3rd and 7th days. So it's clear that Tumah Tameit is more Chamor. So now, my Yatza. The Gemara wants to know, what does it mean that Baal Keri is excluded? Lav Yatza Michlal Zav Uval Dechlal Tameh Meit. Isn't it that Baal Keri is excluded or taken out of the category of Zav? It comes into the category of Tameh Meit. Taha Tameh Meit Chamor Mimenu Umutar B'machane Leviah. Because Tameh Meit, which is much more chamur than Baal Keri, is permitted in Machane Leviah. Not permitted in Machane Shechinah, not permitted in the Mikdash itself, but it is permitted on Har HaBayit, or in Machane Leviah. So Baal Keri, which is a much lower level of Tumah than Tameh Meit, certainly it should be allowed in the Machane Leviah. And that would go against what we stated yesterday, which is that Baal Keri has the same din as a Zav, that Baal Keri goes out of not only Machane Shechinah, but also Machane Leviah. But from this bright, it sounds like that you push the Baal Keri out of its normal category of being a subset of Zav towards the Tumah of Tumat Meit, which is more Chamor, only has to leave Machane Shechinah. Where it says, no, don't read it that way. Rather, Yatzah mi Machane Tameh Meit, v'nichnas the Machane Zav. Rather, the Yatzah is that it's not like a Tameh Meit, but it is like a Machane Zav, meaning that it has to leave not only the Machane Shechinah, but also the Machane Leviah. And that's despite the fact that Tameh Meit is more stringent than it, umutar b'machane leviah, and is permitted in the Machane Leviah. Why? Because Tumat Baal Keri is more similar to Tumat Azav than it is Tumat Meit. So even though it is a lower form of Tumat than Tumat Meit, it is less stringent than Tumat Meit, it will have the characteristics of Tumat Azav. And that's why we included Baal Keri from V'chol Zav, because it's similar to Zav in the fact that the Tumah is Yotzei Migufo, it comes out of the individual themselves, it involves an emission. So because of that, Tumat Baal Keri is subsumed under the category of Zav. If that's the case, he must not only leave the Machane Shechinah, he must also leave the Machane Leviah, despite the fact that it's not as Chamor as Tameh Meit, who only has to leave the Machane Shechinah. Now we have a Braita that was brought down, which is Tani Tana Kamei to Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. They brought a braita in front of Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. V'yatza el michutz l'machane, zu machane shechinah. Lo yavo el toch ha-machane, zu machane leviah. So here, this is a pasuk that's found in Parshat Ki Tetzeh about a person has a mikrei laila. A person has a seminal mission at night while he's going out to battle, and he's found in the machane, Machane Yisrael, which the Torah describes as being a machane, a camp where the Shechinah is present. When the Jews go out to battle, it's not simply a war machine that goes out to battle, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with them, and the presence of the Shekhinah is there. And therefore, someone who is Tamei must leave the Machaneh of the camp of the army because the Shekhinah is present. So someone who has a Mikra Laila, someone who is a Baal Keri, must leave that Machaneh. So now, the way the Breita reads is, Ve'yatzal mechutz la-Machaneh, he must leave the Machaneh, he must go outside of the Machaneh, Zu Machaneh Shekhinah, he has to leave the Machaneh Shekhinah. Lo yavol tocho Machaneh, Zu Machaneh Leviyah. He may not enter the Machaneh, that is considered to be Machaneh Leviyah. So this is a support for the fact that a Baal Keri has to leave two Machanot, not just the Machaneh Shekhinah, but also the Machaneh Leviyah. So now the Gemara says, Mikan, the Baal Keri she'yaseh chutz l'shtei Machanot. This Breita, or the conclusion of this Breita, is that a Baal Keri must leave two Machanot, supporting what we've said until this point in time. So Amar Lei, so Yisak Bar Avdimi said, Hakati lo ayelte afikte. You still haven't brought him in, and now you're trying to take him out? Or Lishna Achrina, Akate lo afikte, you didn't take him out, ayalte, and now you're trying to bring him in? So he says the Breita doesn't make so much sense. Because when you say, Ve'yatzal mechutz la-machaneh, that he will go out of the machaneh, and then lo yovo el tacha machaneh, so when you say ve'yatzal, he has to leave the machaneh. So that means that he's in a machaneh now, and you're asking him to leave that machaneh. And then when you say lo yovo el tacha machaneh, it sounds like he's already left the machaneh, and he may not enter that machaneh. So if you say ve'yatzal mechutz la-machaneh, means that he has to leave the machaneh shechinah, and then lo yovo el tacha machaneh means now he's standing in machaneh leviyah, and he may not enter the Machaneh that he just left, which is the Machaneh Shekhinah. That means both of them would have meant Machaneh Shekhinah. You can't say to someone, don't come into this Machaneh until you've taken him out of that Machaneh. So how can you say the definition of Lo Yavo Tocha Machaneh is don't come into the Machaneh Leviyah when he's never left the Machaneh Leviyah? So that doesn't make sense. Either way, the phraseology here as to the question is the same, which is that if you didn't take him in, how can you throw him out? Or if you threw him out, how can you take him in? You have to be standing in a location where you're already outside of something to say, don't come in there. Or, on the other side, until you tell him to get out of that area, you can't tell him not to come back into that area. So, rather, Ele'ema, this is the way the Breita should read. Chutz la-machaneh is zu machaneh leviyah. Ve'itzel chutz la-machaneh means you must leave the machaneh leviyah. Now, lo yavol tocho machaneh means zu machaneh shechinah. Because now he's standing in machaneh leviyah, and you're telling him that he must leave the machaneh leviyah. Well, if he leaves the Machaneh Leviyah, he has two possibilities of leaving the Machaneh Leviyah. He can either enter the Machaneh Shekhinah, because he's leaving Machaneh Leviyah, or he can leave Machaneh Leviyah and go out into Machaneh Yisrael. And that's where the Pasuk says, Lo yavo el tocha Machaneh, that he may not come into the Machaneh, that's the Machaneh Shekhinah. When he's standing in Machaneh Leviyah, it says, leave that Machaneh. And then it says, Lo yavo el tocha Machaneh, which direction should you leave? You go to the Machaneh Yisrael, not towards the Machaneh Shekhinah, because you're not allowed to enter into that Machaneh, the Machaneh Shekhinah. So again, that Breita does support what we suggested until now, which is that a Baal Keri, someone who has a seminal mission, must leave both Machanot, the Machaneh Shekhinah and the Machaneh Leviyah. So Ma'akifla Rabina, Ima V'idividi, the Machaneh Shekhinah. Why don't we say both Sukkim are referring to the Machaneh Shekhinah, Olavor Alav Be'aseh V'lo Taseh, and you'll be in violation of a positive commandment as well as a negative commandment, meaning we have that many times in the Torah, where a positive and negative commandment refer to the same violation. So why don't we say the same thing over here? We'll say that he must exit the Machaneh Shekhinah, and he may not enter the Machaneh Shekhinah, so it'll be an assay that he must leave. It'll be a lota say he may not enter, and they'll both be referencing the same location. Who says that it has to be talking about two separate machot? Mar says, Im kein, then the pasuk should have said, Le'makra, V'yadal mechutz la-machaneh, that he goes out of the Machaneh, V'lo yavo el toch, because we already have the word Machaneh there, so we would know that if he has to leave the Machaneh, that he cannot enter. What can he enter? He can't enter the Machaneh, is the beginning of the pasuk. Ha-Machaneh Lamali. So why does it mention the Machaneh again? The Machaneh is already the object of the statement or the Pasuk. So why can't you say both items with one word of Machaneh? Why do you need to have Machaneh mentioned twice? Shmaminah Litein Lo Machaneh Acheret. To tell you that there are two Machanot that we're speaking about here, the first Machaneh and the second Machaneh are not the same Machaneh, and they're both not referencing the Machaneh Shekhinah. One is referencing the Machaneh Shekhinah, one is referencing the Machaneh Levi'ah, and therefore, a Baal Keri must leave both of those machanot. Now we move on to the next item in our Mishnah, which is after you shecht the korban and you do the kabbalat adam and the zrigat adam, we allowed you on Shabbat to violate Shabbat and do mikui kravav, which is to clear out the intestines or the stomach so that it will not go bad, so that it will not rot interim while they wait with the korban. So Gemara wants to know mikui kravav. What exactly is this mikui kravav that we're talking about here? Ravun Amar, Shem Nakuvan Bisakin. that you puncture them with a knife. You puncture, whether it's the intestines or the stomach, with a knife in order to allow the liquid waste to come out of the intestine so it won't go bad. You drain it of that so that it won't stay in there and rot. And as Rashi says over here, the word mihui over here can have one of two definitions. The word mihui could also be perish raka, meaning that means soft waste, because the word machoi or nimchet means a liquid or something that is dissolved. So that might be the meaning of mihui over here. Or the other possibility of the meaning of mihui here is from the word nikiva v'chibul, to destroy or to puncture, like we say, timchet zecher amalek. So there mihui means to destroy or to puncture, so that's what it means here, to puncture the intestine. So the word mihui, based on the definition of what Rav Huna says, might mean either the liquid waste, or it might mean the puncturing of the intestines or the stomach, but either way, that's what this mihui gravav is. Here Barab says, Amar circa de mayo. It is the lining inside of the stomach. It is the waste or the bad stuff inside the lining of the stomach that you have to scrape out with a knife. You have to press the knife there and scrape it out. It does not come out naturally. You can't just take it out, but it's waste that's inside there that will rot, and you have to take it out with a knife. And that's what the word mihui means over here. And Amar Rav Elazar, my time is Chir Barav. What's the reasoning behind Chir Barav's position? Dechiv. As the Pasuk says, in Ishaya, Vecharvot Mechim Garim Yochelu. This is a Pasuk that is found in Ishaya, Perek He, Pasuk Yudzayin. It's in the Perek, which has the Mashal HaKramim, the very famous Mashal HaKramim of Ishaya. And later on in the Perek, in Pasuk Tetzayin, in Pasuk 16, in that Perek, it actually has a pasuk which we're going to quote numerous times over the Yoraim. It's the conclusion of the bracha of Amelech HaKadosh, which is, Vayikva Hashem Tzvakot Bamishpat, Vakel HaKadosh Nikdash Bitztaka. So that's the pasuk before. The next pasuk, which is the one that we are bringing over here, is, Vira'u Kvasim Kidavram, that the lambs or the flocks will go out and feed as if they're in their pastures. And the waste places of the fat ones shall wanderers eat. So that is the pasuk that we're quoting over here. And now, based on that, the word mechim is what is defining what Chir Barav says over here. My mashma. How do you know what the word mechim over here? Could mitargim Yosef. Rav Yosef, you remember, fell ill in the middle of his life and then he lost his eyesight. Since he lost his eyesight, he was no longer able to learn Torah Shebichtav as Torah Shebichtav, because he can no longer read it inside. Therefore, Rav Yosef, many times in the Gemara, is quoted as a Baki in Targum, and the translation of Torah Shebichtav, because he became an expert in doing it in Aramaic versus in Hebrew, so he would be in violation of learning or speaking in Torah Shebichtav, Shalom min Aktav, not reading it directly from the Ktav. That's what Gemara is here. Can we Targum Rav Yosef? Rav Yosef translated as, that the possessions or the estates of the Rishayim, the Tzadikim, will inherit. And that's what is being said here in this Pasuk in Ishaya. Now, if you say that, the word Rishaya equates to Mechim over here. The evil ones equates to the word Mechim. As Rashi points out over here, that obviously this is Davra Vishanu Sanui. Probably something that's bad, evil, something that is despised, Davar Bazui. And that's what it's referring to, this stuff that is located in the lining of the stomach, or around the inner lining of the stomach, which is difficult to remove, but is disgusting. And that's the word mechim over here, mechui kravav, means to eliminate that disgusting item that is on the inside of the stomach by using the knife. That is the reason behind Chir Barav's position. Now the Gemara is going to go back and now darshan this pasuk and lead into a series of agadot related to this, which is, here the pasuk, the beginning of the pasuk is v'ra'u kvasim kidabram, that the sheep or the flocks will graze as if in their pasture. Amar Menashia bar Yirmiyah Amar Rav ki midubar bam, as it was said about them. Kidabram means like that was said about them. Mai kidubur bar bam, what it mean that it was said about them? Amar Abaye v'charvot mechim garim yochelu. So he says that what does mean that it's predicted? Predicted, like it says, in the latter half of the pasuk. So Abaye says that, Uru'u kvasim, kvasim here referring to Bnei Yisrael or to the tzaddikim, that Bnei Yisrael Tzadikim will graze in their pastures, like I said. And what does it mean, like I said? That's the latter half of the pasuk, which is Harvot Mechim Garim Yochelu, that the Tzadikim will eat or benefit from the possessions of those that are evil. And that's why Vira'uk Vasim Kedabram. And that's what the word Kedabram is referencing. It's referencing the latter half of the pasuk. Amalei Rava Bishlamo Iktiv Harvot Kedamat. If the pasuk read Ura'uk Vasim Kedabram Harvot Mechim Garim Yochelu, then Harvot Mechim Garim Yochelu would be the definition of Kedabram, as I had said previously. Hashad Iktiv Ve Harvot Mechim Garim Yochelu. But now that it has Vav, the Vav is a Vav Achiluk. It's a dividing Vav, which says that the second half of the Pasuk is not necessarily connected to the first half of the Pasuk. Miltach Ritech Hamar. Therefore, it's another statement of, over here, not the definition of Kedabram. Hello, Amar Rava. So then what does it mean? Vira'u Kivasim Kedabram, as I had said beforehand, or as I had said previously, what is Kedabram? Kedarav Hanano Amarav. It's like the Perush of Rav Hanano Barav, Damar Rav Hanano Amarav, Atidim Tzadikim Shiyochiu Etemetim. In the future, the Tzadikim will bring people back to life. Tivchacho, it says here, Vira'u Kivasim Kedabram. Our pasuk here from Yishayah that says that the Kivasim, Israel, or the Tzadikim will graze in their pastures, Kedabram, as I've said beforehand. They're playing on the word Kedabram, not being pastures, but rather, like I've told you previously, Uchtiv Hatam, and it says in Micha, Yir'u Bashan Gilad Kimei Olam, that the Bashan and the Gilad will have their pastures like the old days, like in antiquities. So what the Gezer Shava is from Vira'u to Yir'u in Micha. And then he says, what is Bashan and Gilad? What does it mean that they're going to graze Bashan and Gilad Kimei Olam like they did in the past? So Bashan, Ze Elisha. Bashan refers to Elisha. Haba min Bashan, who comes from the Bashan. Shenemar, because it says in Divrei Yamim, when it's talking about the different individuals in the lineage that is out there in Divrei Yamim, it says, Ve'yanai v'shafat b'Bashan. So Yanai and Shafat were from the Bashan, and Shafat is Elisha's father, Uchtiv, because it says in the beginning of Malachim Bet, the story that we mentioned the other day with Yehoram and Yehoshaphat, and Edom who would battle against Melech Moab, and they're not doing so well. And Yehoshaphat asks, do we have any Nabi Hashem around? And it turns out that, guess who's there, is Po Elisha ben Shaphat. Elisha ben Shaphat is here, who poured water by Eliyahu, means that he was a student of Eliyahu and Navi. And that is Elisha, and then we spoke about the fact that he was angry at that point in time, therefore he couldn't get the Nivuah, and they had to play music in order for him to have the Nivuah. But we see that he's called Elisha ben Shaphat. And we see from Divrei Yamim that Shat was from the Bashan. So, Uru Bashan, Bashan refers to Elisha. Gilad, Ze Eliyahu. Gilad refers to Eliyahu, Shnemar. Vayomer Eliyahu atishbi mitoshavei ha-Gilad. Eliyahu, when he comes, first appears to Achav, to speak to Achav, it describes Eliyahu atishbi that comes from the Gilad. So, Eliyahu, who comes from the Gilad, and Elisha, who comes from the Bashan. It's interesting here, they're both from Aver Yardain in the areas of Chatzi, Shevet, Menashe. So that's what the reference is over here. And we know that both Eliyahu and Elisha brought people back to life. So that's what the meaning of the pasuk is going to be. Ve'ra'u kivasim kedabram, that they will go to pasture, they will graze, as I've said, meaning that the tzadikim of Israel will act as I had said. What does it mean, as I had said? Well, gzeir shava to iru vashan v'gilad kimei olam, that they will graze like the bashan and gilad. So grazing, we have the word re'u as gzeir shava. And just like over there, it references Elisha and Eliyahu who brought people back to life. So to over here, Vira'uk Vasim Kedabram means that the Tzadikim or Yisrael that Tidavo will bring people back to life. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Yonatan. Atidim Tzadikim Shiyuchyu Meitim. So now he brings a different source of the fact that the Tzadikim in the future will bring people back to life. Shnemar. Because the Pasuk says in Zechariah, speaking about Zman HaMashiach, Od Yeshvu Zekinus Kenot, Berechov Yushalayim, that the elderly will sit on the roads of Yerushalayim, Ish Mishantobi Adomirov Yamim. And the individuals, the people will be there with their staff or their walking stick because they are so old, and that people live such long lives, and that they have their walking sticks. And here the play is on the one Mishanto. Uchtev, and it says by Elisha when he sends Gehazi to bring back to life the child of the Isha Shunamit. It says over there, Vesamta Mishanti Apneanar, place my staff on the face of the nar of the child. So we see the word mishanti, that is mishenet, his staff was used to bring the child back to life. So too, the Mishenet that's referred to about his Kenim's Kenot Latidavo is also a staff that can bring those back to life. Now, Ula Rami Tiv. Ula says that there's a stira between these psukim that we find. It says in Ishayo that Bila Hamovit La Netzach, death shall be swallowed up forever, which is a quote that many people end a hesped with, which is Bila Hamovit La Netzach, Umacha Hashem Elokim Dim'a Me'al Kol Panim, that death shall be swallowed up forever, and Hashem should wipe away the tears from all faces. So that there will no longer be any death and any crying or sorrow. Then it says in the Pasuk, that a young person who is 100 years old will pass away. Meaning that people will pass away. They'll live a long life until they're 100, but then they will pass away. So what is it? Is it Bila Mavet Netzach, that death will no longer be around? Or is it that Anar ben Me'ashana Yamut? When it says Lokasha, that's not a problem. Kan be Yisrael, kan ba'akum. It depends on the who are we speaking about. When you're talking about Bnei Yisrael, it'll be Bila Mavet Netzach. When we're speaking about the Akum, then it'll be Nar ben Me'ashana Yamut. Ve'ovdei Kochavim, my Ba'uhatam. Latid Lavo, what are the Ovdei Kochavim doing over there? Dichtiv. When it says, yeah, they will be there, because it says, Ve'amdu zarim, ve'rutzonchem. You will have these foreigners, these strangers that will come along, and they will take care of your flocks. They will graze your flocks for you. They will shepherd your flocks. Ubnei nechar. And the foreigners will be ikarechem, will be your plowmen, ve'kormechem, and your vine dressers. Meaning that they will become your workers at that time. They'll be around to service you in the future. So they are there, but they will only have the promise of kinar b'me'a shana yamut, whereas Bnei Yisrael will have the promise of Hila hamavit la'netzach. Chista Rami Ktiv. Chista brings a stira between the pasuk, which says v'chafra levana u'boshach ma, that the moon will be confused and the sun will be embarrassed because it will give off so much, so little light in the face of the shechina. Uchtiv, and it also says v'aya or levana korach ma, that the light of the moon will be as great as the light of the sun. V'achorach ma yesh shivatayim, and the light of the sun will be, you can read it 7 times, although Rashi comments that Shivatayim is really 7 to the power 2, meaning 49 times. Hor Shivatayamim, that like the light of 7 days. Rashi claims it means regular 7 days in our world today. The sun will be 49 times as bright as it is for a regular 7 days today. You could have read it, Hor Shivatayamim, referring to the Shivatayamim, meaning refers to the 7 days of Maaseh Breishit. That would be 49 times as great as that light of Maaseh Breishit. So in one pasuk, it seems to indicate that the light of the moon and the light of the sun will be almost meaningless in the face of the Shekhinah, and they won't be so apparent. On the other hand, we have a pasuk that says that the light of the moon and the light of the sun will be so great. So how do we reconcile between these two? Mar says, no problem, lokasha, kan li olam haba, kan li mot ha-mashiach. It depends. In yimot ha-mashiach, then the sun and the moon will be very bright. So that'll be latid avo. When Yimot HaMashiach comes, they will be very bright. But when we reach Olam Haba, which means being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the presence of the Shekhinah, over there we'll say, Chafra Levana Boshach Hama, the light of the moon and the sun will be meaningless in the face of the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what also ends with there, Chafra Levana Boshach Hama, Ki Malach Hashem Tzvakot, Behar Tzion Rishalayim V'neged Zkenav Kavot. In the presence of Hashem, it'll be Chafra Levana Boshach Hama. Ule Shmuel, Shmuel who appears anytime we discuss about Yimot HaMashiach, Damar, Ein Ben Olam Azeh Yimot HaMashiach LeShibud Malchiyot Bilvad. The only difference in the present day and the times of Mashiach will be the subjugation by the other nations, that we won't live under the dominion of the other nations, rather, but we'll have independence, autonomy over ourselves. So there won't be such a difference. Ma'ikul Meimer, how are you going to explain this? So, Idi Idi Olam Haba, they both reference Olam Haba. For Lo Kasho, that's not a problem. Kan b'machaneh shechinah, kan b'machaneh tzadikim. Depends where you are. If you're in the machaneh shechinah, when you're very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it'll be b'chafra levana v'shach hama, because the presence of Hashem will be so great that the levana and the hama will not be as bright. If you're in the machaneh tzadikim, you're a little further away from the shechinah, in that place, then the levana and the hama will be very bright, because you won't have as much of the presence of the shechinah, and therefore the moon and the sun will not be diminished because of the presence of the Shekhinah. Now, Rava Rami Ktiv quotes a pasuk from Hazinu, which we're going to read shortly, a problem within the pasuk itself. And It's interesting that he brings this up. It seems to be that all of these psukim, as we move through the Igarata, that there is some sort of connection between either the answer or the topic about which is being discussed. And so to over here, it's interesting because the pasuk that we just quoted, Vaya or Levanak or Achama, Orachama ye Shivataim kor Shivatimim, Biyom, Chavosh Hashem et Shevramo, Umachatz Makato Yirpa, and that he will heal those that are wounded or that which is wounded. That's the end of that pasuk. And now Rava quotes a pasuk from Azinu, which has a similar topic or a theme to it, which is, it says in the pasuk, Ani amit vechaye, I cause death, and I bring to life. Uchti machatzti v'ani arpa, I cause wounds, and I will heal. Hashta achuye mechaye, if Hashem can bring people back to life, mirapelo kol shekein, certainly He can heal them. So the way you would read the pasuk and the pashtut is that God says, "Ani amit, I have the ability to kill or put to death, and I also have the ability to bring to life." So you would have thought that they were separate statements, that God puts those to death and He brings to life others. But rather, now Rava says, the latter half of the pasuk, which would have been obvious from the first half of the pasuk, Mara is telling us that the pasuk is telling us, what does it mean, "Ani Memit va'achaye," means that what I put to death, ani mechaye, I will bring back to life. The same individual that died, I will bring back to life. Kemo, like the latter half of the pasuk, which is shemachatzti ani arpa, that which I caused wounds to, I will heal. You can only heal something that has a wound in it. So if Hashem causes the wound, He's the only one who can heal the wound. You can only heal someone that has a wound. So just like when Hashem says, I caused the wound, I will heal them, it's talking about the same individual. So too, the first half of the pasuk is saying, that which I put to death, or those that I put to death, I will bring back to life, those same individuals. So Tana Rabbanan. And now we have a braita that supports that understanding. Ani amit vechye, yachol mita be'achad v'chayim be'achad. Like the pashtut pasuk, you would think that it's talking about the death of one individual and life, or bringing to life of another individual, kederach sholam noeg, like it happens in the world, that people pass away and people are born. Tamalomar machatzti v'ani arpa. So now we bring the latter half of the pasuk, which is that I cause the wounds and I will heal them. Ma maka urufwa, just like the wound and the healing Hashem does with one individual. Af mita v'chayim b'chad, so too, the death and the life that's spoken about here is about one individual. Mikan tshuvah omrim in tchiyat ha-meitim in ha-Torah. This is an answer to those that say there's no tchiyat ha-meitim mentioned explicitly in the Torah. Here we have it mentioned in Parshat Hazino. Tavar acher, v'tchila ma she'ani memit ani mechayeh. Or rather, there's another explanation over here of this pasuk, which is that Hashem says first, I will bring back to life those that died or those that I put to death. And then in the continuum, those that are wounded, I will heal. As Rashi says in Yeshaya, it says, Azidalei ka'ayel piseach, that the one who is lame will dance around or jump around like the ayal. So that is the atid lavo, those that are wounded will be healed. So Hashem says first, I will bring them to life the way that they died. With their injuries, with their deficiencies, I will bring them back to life. And then after they're brought back to life, I will cure their deficiencies. And that's the continuum of the pasuk, which is ani amit vechaye. And once they're alive, machashti b'nei arpa, and that will cure them from their deficiencies. Right now, the Gemara moves on to the next piece of the Mishnah, which is vekter chalavav, putting the chalavim on the mizbeach. Tanya amar b'shimon, bo rei kama chaviv ha-mitzvah b'shaito. Look how great it is to do a mitzvah in its proper time. When it comes to putting on the fats, the limbs, and the certain types of fats on the Mizbeach, you can do it all night long. So here it is at Shabbat, and now I have a choice. I can wait till that night, and I can put them on the Mizbeach that night, or I can do it on Shabbat itself. Yes, that night is Yom Tov, but that's more Al than Shabbat itself. So why would you put them on the Mizbeach on Shabbat itself? Why not wait until the nighttime? Well, that's what Rabbi Shimon says. The fact that the allowance to put the chalavim onto the Mizbeach on Shabbat itself, that dispensation shows you that chaviva mitzvah b'shaito. We love to do a mitzvah in its proper time, and therefore we are docha Shabbat to allow you to put the chalavim onto the Mizbeach. Now the Gemara moves on to the next items in the Mishnah, items that are not permitted on Shabbat, and that's herkav tov, abato michutz l'tchum, v'chatichat yivalto. That you're not allowed to do any of these items. In the Mishnah mentioned that these are divrei shavut, yisurei dirabanan, and since they are yisurei dirabanan, we do not permit them on Shabbat because they are items that could have been done prior to Shabbat. So now the Gemara brings a stira from a Mishnah that we had in Erevin. The Mishnah Erevin says, "Raminu otkimya beled b'migdash." You're allowed to cut off a wart in the Migdash, of a lo b'medina, not outside of the Migdash. V'mikli, if you do it with a utensil, kan b'kan asur. In both locations, it is asur. So now, how do we reconcile the fact that in the Mishnah Erevin it says you're allowed to cut off a wart in the Migdash, and our Mishnah is saying that you're not allowed to cut off a wart in the Migdash? So, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina. We have Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina each giving a different explanation as to this. Now, the first thing to note is that we cannot suggest that the Mishnah and Eruvin is authored by Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, who in our Mishnah, says that it is mutar to do a shvut in the Migdash, so we could have just argued that he was the author of the Mishnah in Eruvin, because here he permits this shvut, he permits the cutting of the belet, so he'll permit it over there. The reason we cannot say that is because over there it says, v'mikli, if he does it with utensil, kan v'kan asur, it's asur no matter what, even in the Mishnah and Eruvin. Now, Rabbi Eliezer believes not only is a shvut can be doche to do a machshirei mitzvah, but even in Isur de'oraita, we are doche to do machshirei mitzvah on Shabbat. So if that's the case, why is it asur bikli? The fact that the Mishnah Erevin says bikli is asur already indicates that it's not authored by Rabbi Eliezer. Just to note, the Gemara in Erevin is much more extensive. Here it says short in there, a tamsit, the summary of the Gemara over there. We'll try to note some of the other issues that are brought up in the Gemara in Erevin. But here they give two different solutions. Chadamar, one of them says, idivid biyad. Both of them, the Mishnah Erevin and our Mishnah here in Pesachim, are talking about taking off the yabelet biyad with your hand. What's the difference? Habalacha, the Mishnah in Pesachim here is talking about when it's moist, when the yabelet is still a solid yabelet, and therefore taking it off is like a real tikkun over here. And therefore, we do not permit it in the Migdash. Habivisha, the one in Erevin that say, chutkin yabelet b'migdash, where you permit it, that's when it's dried out. Since it's dried out, it's not such a big deal to take it off. Now, despite that fact, even though it's dried out, we don't let you do it with kli. As Tosafot says in Erevim, it's a shvud gadol to do with the kli, and therefore we assered it in the Migdash, like many types of Yisurei de Rabbanan that we don't allow in the Migdash. V'chad amar, and the other one says, this is the reconciliation between the two brayot, or the two Mishnayot. Idi v'idi belacha, they're both talking about a moist wart. Velokasha, that's not a problem. Habiyad, the Mishnah in Erevin is talking about when you do it by hand. So since it's a shunoi, and it's only a shvut, it's only an isur dirabanan, we allow you to take it off with your hand. That's the Mishnah in Erevin. And that's why, ava im kli, kan v'kan v'astur. But if you do it with a kli, it's not permissible. And that'll be a story here. The Mishnah in Pesachim here is habikli. If you're doing it with a kli, you're cutting it off with a knife. Here, the yabelet, that is problematic over here. Cutting off the yabelet with a kli, and that's why the Mishnah in Pesachim says it's problematic. Just like the latter half of the Mishnah Erevin says, if you do it with a kli, it's asur. So one of them explains the difference being between whether it's moist or dried out. It's done by hand, but it's moist or dried out. That'll be the difference between the Mishnah Erevin that it permits it, and our Mishnah says it's asur. Or the other one says that the difference has to be between whether if you do it by hand or by kli. So our Mishnah in Pesachim that disallows it is talking about a kli, and the Mishnah Erevin which permits it is talking about biyad. Now the Gemara says, why didn't they each pick their other solution? Olamanda amar habiyad habikli. The one who says that the difference between Mishnayot is whether you did it by hand or by kli. My time olamar idividi biyad. Why didn't he give the first answer, which is that they're both talking about yad? Velo kasha habacha b'habi yavesha. Why didn't he give that answer? Amlacha yavesha mifrach pricha. Yavesha is not cutting anything if it crumbles by itself. There's no Easter, not even a remote Easter there. So then how could you say in bikli kan b'kan asur? The Mishnah Erevin says that if you do it with a kli, it's a sur. If you're talking about Yevesha, what's the problem at all? Yevesha just falls away. It's not even picking it off. It's not even doing anything. If it's not doing anything, then you can't say that there's a problem with it. According to one who says that they're both talking about the yad, and we're talking about the difference between lacha and Yevesha, then my time alo amar idividi belacha, why didn't he say that they're both talking about a moist one? Lokasha habiyad habakli. Amacha kli haktani hotam. If you think that our Mishnah here in Pesachim is a kli, that's already addressed in the Mishnah Erevin. The Mishnah Erevin says, "In bikli kan v'kan asur." So why would you repeat it over here about the kli? So the Gemara says, "V'idach haktani kli." It's a good question. What is the other one who says that the difference between Pesachim and Erevin is yad and kli? In Erevin already it mentions kli. So the Gemara says, "No, halcha pluktu de Rabbi Lezer Yeshua atalishminon." So it mentions the kli again here in Pesachim, even though in Erevin already mentioned it, because here we want to talk about the machloki between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim, or Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yoshua about machshirei mitzvah and about shvut in the Migdash. Since we're going to talk about that machloket, we brought it down over here. The Gemara in Erevin also asks a very serious question on the Manda Amar that says that it's Habiyad, Habikli, implying that the problem here, Bikli, is that it's an Iser De'oraita, and that's why the Mishnah Pesachim doesn't allow it. The problem is that we have a list there of three items. The list of the three items are items that are Asumi D'Rabban. It's Harkav To, taking it on your shoulders, and bringing it in Michutz L'Chum. So they sound all like Isurei D'Rabbanan. If you explain that our Mishnah here, Pesachim, talking about a Kli, that's an Iser De'oraita. So the Gemara there in Erevin says, no, he thinks that all of these items are Isurei D'oraita. First of all, it's bringing in from Chutz L'Chum is a Libidor Yekiva, who thinks that Chumim are De'oraita. Harkav To, carrying it on your shoulders, is not like Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan, who says, Chai no set atzmo, that's why it's D'Rabbanan. He'll hold like D'Rabbanan, who disagree with Rabbi Natan and say that it is a problem to carry such an animal D'oraita. He makes them all three into Isurei D'oraita, and then Rabbi Yosef asks on that, well, there's a little bit of a problem, because the Mishnah here in Pesachim continues with Rabbi Eliezer's statement, which seems to indicate that these are Shvut, that these are Isurei D'Rabbanan, because he brings up the Kal Machomer afterwards, and therefore Rabbi Yosef gives an alternative answer. But that's a more extensive Gemara in Erevin, but just to give you some of the feel of what they do over there, but the Gemara here is trying to reconcile between the Mishnah and Erevin, which says that you can cut it off, and then our Mishnah says that you cannot cut it off, and differentiate between these two Mishnayot. Now the Gemara moves on to the Kal Vachomer of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah says, Umayim Mishchita, talking about Shchita, which is an Isur De'oraita, we say that that is Doche Shabbat, then Shvut, these Isurei D'Rabbanan, which was the question on that Manda Amar, these Isurei D'Rabbanan, certainly we should allow them to be Doche Shabbat. If we're allowing Isurei HaMelacha D'Oraita to be Doche, certainly we can allow Shvuyot, or these Isurei D'Rabbanan, to be violated for the purpose of a mitzvah, purpose of the Pesachim over here. Now the truth is that Rabbi Eliezer himself doesn't need the Kal Vachomer, as Tosafot points out over here. Rabbi Eliezer in the Gemara in Shabbat, in Perek Rabbi Eliezer D'Mila, has a Pasuk that specifically says that we are melachot mutarim on Shabbat, but even machshirei melacha are mutarim on Shabbat. So he learns that out from the pasuk. He doesn't need the Kal Vachomer. He's just using the Kal Vachomer to question the Rabbanon's position. He says, even if you don't have my pasuk, you should learn it out of a Kal Vachomer. The one question we do have is that Rabbi Lezer de Mila has two pasukim, one pasuk for melachot and one pasuk for machshirei mitzvah. By Pesachim, he doesn't have that. And so it's somewhat of a question, where does he get heter of Machshirei Mitzvah here by Pesachim if he doesn't have a separate pasuk for that? Okay, be that as may, this is the Kal Vachomer that Rabbi Eliezer presents to them. Then Rabbi Yoshua says back to them, I'll prove it to you from Yom Tov. On Yom Tov we have heter Ochol Nefesh, where certain melachot are allowed, and yet we still have Yisurei D'Rabbanan that apply on Yom Tov. Rabbi Eliezer says to them, you're comparing apples and oranges. Yom Tov is a reshut, and I'm talking about a Pesachim, or bringing the Korban Pesach, which is a mitzvah. So Rabbi Eliezer believes that Simchat Yom Tov is a reshut, as opposed to Rabbi Shua thinks that Simchat Yom Tov is a mitzvah. And that's what the Gemara is about to discuss here. Rabbi Shua the Tamei, Rabbi Shua is the Shita, though, the Gemara is Simchat Yom Tov Nami Mitzvah Hi. That he thinks that Simchat Yom Tov is also a mitzvah. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Mer, in lo adam Yom Tov, elo ochel vishoteh, o shave vishoneh. You have a choice, Rabbi Eliezer says. On Yom Tov, you can do one of two things. You can either eat and drink all day, or you can learn and be in the Beit Midrash and daven all day. Okay, that you split it in half. Half of it is for eating and drinking. And half of it is dedicated to Hashem, being in the Beit Midrash, learning and davening. And they both learn it out from the same pasuk. One pasuk says, Atzeret Lashem Elokecha, and Parshat Re'e. It calls Shmini Atzeret, Atzeret Lashem Elokecha, that it's an Atzeret for Hashem. In Parshat Pinchas, in the Korbanei Musaf, it calls it Atzeret Tiyadachem. It calls Shmini Atzeret for you, not for Hashem. So Rabbi Eliezer Savar, O Kulo Hashem, either you make it entirely dedicated to Hashem, O Kulo Lachem, or you make it entirely dedicated to you. So one of the two. And obviously, Kulo Hashem is probably better, but you have to pick one or the other. That means that eating or drinking on Yom Tov is not necessarily a mitzvah. It's an option, but it's not a mitzvah. Rabbi Shua Savar, okay, you, that you have to divide it in half. Chetzio Lachem, Chetzio Lachem. He resolves the stira on the psukim by saying, yes, half of Shmini Atzeret is dedicated to Hashem, half of Shmini Atzeret is dedicated to Hashem. It's very important to remember this, that when it comes to Yom Tov, that half of it is the eating and the drinking and the enjoyment, but the other half has to be davening and learning. And so there has to be an aspect of both in all of these days. All the days of Yom Tov have to involve both davening and learning, as well as eating and drinking. The Rambam has laid out the exact schedule of how it should be or how one should conduct oneself on Yom Tov, going from the davening, the Beit Midrash, to eating, and back to the Beit Midrash. He describes this, but it's an important aspect of Yom Tov. But we see here that they are the Shitatam. Rabbi Lezer, who believes that Simchat Yom Tov is not a mitzvah, and Rabbi Yeshua does believe that it's a mitzvah. So for Rabbi Yeshua, his question from Yom Tov is a valid question, because he's asking from the mitzvah of Simchat Yom Tov to the mitzvah of Pesachim. Whereas Rabbi Lezer says, the Shitati, that's not a question, because I don't believe Simchat Yom Tov is a mitzvah, it's a reshut. So since it's a reshut, it's an option, not a mitzvah, then you can't compare that to the mitzvah of Pesachim. Now what's interesting over here is that in the Torah, the word atzeret is used to refer to Shmini Atzeret, as opposed to in the Gemara, in the Lashon Chachamim, atzeret refers to Shavuot. And now that's exactly what the Gemara is going to discuss, Shavuot, as being called atzeret, even though in the Torah, atzeret is only used as a reference to Shmini Atzeret. That's what the Gemara continues over here. Amar Rabbi Lezer, Hakol Modim Ba'atzeret. Everybody agrees by Shavuot. That means Rabbi Lezer and Rishu all agree. Tzibina Nami Lachem. That you also need the aspect of Lachem. My time, Yom Shibabo Torahu, the day on which the Torah is given. And that's what Rashi explains over here. Shismach bo b'machal mishteh. You have to eat and drink. Even according to Rabbi Lezer, you have to eat and drink on the day that the Torah is given. Tarot shenoach umukubal yom zeh Israel. That should show that this day is acceptable and something that's wonderful for B'nai Yisrael. Shenan Torah bo. Even though the Torah gives us many commandments and gives us an obligations. You know, now we've accepted obligations, or recognizing that there is Kabbalat Torah comes with obligations, so you'd think that a person might be despondent, there might be a difficulty. No, we have to show that this is something exciting, something that we look forward to, something that we want. And how do you do that? You do that by celebrating, by eating and drinking. And therefore, it's an integral aspect of Shavuot, is to eat and drink, to show how much we love the Kabbalat Torah, and that we love that Hashem gave us these mitzvot. So Amar Rabbo, so now we continue along these lines, says Hakol Modim B'Shabbat, Miyum Nami Lachem. Everybody gives on Shabbat that you have to eat and drink also. My time of a karata the Shabbat Oneg, because it's a demand for Oneg on Shabbat, and Oneg only comes through physical pleasure, and therefore one has to have some form of physical pleasure on Shabbat. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Hakol Modim B'Purim. Everybody agrees on Purim, to Miyum Nami Lachem. And that you also require Lachem, my time, because there by Purim it says, Yumei Mishteh V'Simcha. Those are days of feasts and happiness and rejoicing. It says that the Yimei Mishteh v'Simcha is a requirement for Mishteh and Simcha on Purim. Marbrei de Ravina kolashata havayoti planita. Marbrei Ravina used to fast all year long. Levar, for the exceptions to that were Me'atzerta, Shavuot, Upuraya and Purim, Umale Yom Kippurim, and what we have coming up now, Erev Yom HaKippurim. Atzeret, as we explained above, Yom Shnita Bo Torah, was the day on which the Torah was given, which we explained before. Puraya Purim Yemei Mishteh V'Simcha Ktiv. That we know from the fact that it says Yemei Mishteh V'Simcha is a requirement of Mishteh on Purim. Mala Yom HaKippurim. Why on every Yom HaKippurim did he do that? Tani Chir Barav Midifte. We have Limud from Chir Barav Difte. V'Nitem Et Nafshotechem. The pasuk says in Emor about Yom HaKippurim, says you have to afflict yourselves Mivitisha B'Chodesh, from the ninth of the month. Now we know that Yom HaKippurim falls out on the 10th of the month. So why does the Torah say that you must start on the 9th of the month? So there are those that learn from that, that you have to be Mosifi Michol Al HaKodesh, that Yom HaKippurim has to be extended. It might be, according to the Rambam, it might be the only time that Mosifi Michol Al HaKodesh is De'oraita, is by Yom HaKippurim. Most of the other Rishonim extend this to Yom Tov and Shabbat as well, that Mosifi Michol Al HaKodesh. But that's one of the limudim that comes out of this, that you have to start Yom Kippur on the 9th. Now, the other limud, if you learn it from somewhere else, about Mosifi Michol Al HaKodesh, this is the other limud that might come out of the pasuk. V'chi b'tisha mit'anim, do we really fast and afflict ourselves on the 9th of the month? Halo ba'asiri mitanim. Don't we really do this? Asiri on the 10th of the month. Elo malacha comes to teach you. Kala ocha shoteh b'tish'a bo. Ale alav ha'katuv. Kilo mitaneh tishiv asiri. That anybody who eats and drinks on the 9th. Male alav ha'katuv. Kilo mitaneh tishiv asiri. As if he fasted both the 9th and the 10th. So eating on the 9th or in Erev Yom HaKippurim is a mitzvah according to this. Because the achilah and shtiyah of the 9th are connected to the fasting on the 10th. Why that is a good question. It happens to be a machloket rishonim as to how this works. Some of the rishonim believe that it is part of the inui. The more you eat and drink on the 9th, the harder it will be on the 10th. And therefore it is a hechsher. It's a way to increase the inui. And that's why it's a mitzvah on the 9th. Others believe the other way around, that eating on the 9th, eating and drink on the 9th is to prepare for the 10th. And so you eat and drink on the 9th so that you can be afflicted. You can suffer the inui of the 10th. And therefore, it's a preparation for the inui. So that's what some of the other Rishonim believe. Others mention that the separation, the problem is that Yom HaKippurim is a Yom Tov. Well, Yom Tov normally includes eating and drinking. But because Yom Tov includes a fast or inui here on Yom HaKippurim, where is the Yom Tov meal? So what the Torah did was it split up the Yom Tov here of Yom HaKippurim, and it put the day that's Kulo Hashem, which is the 10th, then we have the day that has the Lachem aspect of it, or the meals, or the Mishkeh aspect to Yom Tov, it put on the 9th. It's separated between the two. And what's interesting is that Purim, which is Yom Kippurim, Purim has the exact opposite, which Purim is almost the day of Kulo, Yemei Mishteh V'Simcha. It's all about Mishteh V'Simcha, and there is the aspect of Hashem is almost missing from there. And it's interesting there that we fast. We have Tanit Esther the day before. There, too, we have these days that are polar opposites, in a sense, that are really two halves of the puzzle. Pachad Yitzchak, the Purim, spends a lot of time on this, discussing this idea of Purim and Yom HaKippurim, how they are connected, and how that they together make up a whole day, Purim, which is Yemei Mishteh V'Simcha, and Yom HaKippurim, which is Inui, and together they form the wholeness of a Yom Tov. And what's very interesting here is that the 3 days on which Mar Bri Dervina did not fast are all days when we have Kabbalat HaTorah, Shavuot, Yom HaKippurim, and Purim. We know Shavuot, of course, that we got Kabbalat HaTorah. Yom HaKippurim is the day that Moshe brought down the second Luchot. So that's also a day of Rachamim, because we were nitchaper for the Maaseh Egel, and we received the second Luchot on that day. And Purim, now the Chazal tell us that Kimu V'Kiblu Ayudim, that there was a reacceptance of the Torah on Purim. So these are all 3 days of Kabbalat Torah, and therefore it's only appropriate that we eat on all 3 of these days. So we do that on Tshi'i, we do that on the 9th for Yom Kippurim, and then we do it on Shavuot, where everybody agrees it has to be Lachem, as well as on Purim, where it's Yimei Mishteh V'Simcha. Now, the Rishonim discuss also the fact that Ravina used to fast every other day of the year, which is interesting, which means that he did fast on other Yomim Tovim. And so the question of fasting on a Yom Tov or fasting on Shabbat comes up in this context. It's important only because now we're coming to Yomim Noraim, and it was a major machloket in the Gaonim as to whether one should fast on Rosh Hashanah. Is it preferable to fast on Rosh Hashanah? Or one can fast on Rosh Hashanah, or one should not fast on Rosh Hashanah because it is a Yom Tov. Our minhag today is that we do not fast on Rosh Hashanah, that the practice is that we do eat, and we do make it a part of a Yom Tov. That's part of the interesting ambiguity about Rosh Hashanah, as to whether it's a Yom HaDin or it's a Yom Tov, and the mix of both of them has this tension between whether we should be fasting Rosh Hashanah or we should be eating on Rosh Hashanah, almost the same tension that we find within Yom Kippur. In Yom Kippur, it's clear that we take out the eating from it, and we put it in the day before and the 9th. On Rosh Hashanah, there's a certain amount of ambiguity to it, and we live with that tension within Rosh Hashanah, the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, between the fact that we do have a Yom Tov, but it's also Yom HaDin together. Rav Yosef v'Yomadat Zerta Amar. Rav Yosef on Shavuot used to say, Avdili Igla Tilta, make for me an Igla Tilta. Rashi over here says, Shlishi Beten, that it was the third one born to its mother. Rashi in other places in Shas gives other definitions to it, whether it's one third, it's grown one third, or other possibilities where he rejects possibly this explanation, but we'll just go with the fact that this is a delicacy of some sort. Amar, if it was not for Yom Shenitna Bo Torah, the Kagarim that causes me to be different, Kama Yosef Yikshuk, I would be no different than all the other Yosefs that are out there. The only reason that I'm unique or special is because of Kabbalat Torah, the day of Torah, and because I'm a Talmud Chochom and I learned Torah, that's what makes me different or differentiated me. So this day is a special day for me. Every 30 days he used to chazer over his limud. Then he used to put himself within the doorway, whether it means within the threshold of the doorway or on the lock, leaning on the lock of the door. Rejoice, my soul. Rejoice, my soul. I learned this for you. I reviewed this. I did Torah Shebichtav Torah Shebaalpeh for your benefit, for my soul. Is that really true that you learn for the benefit of your soul? If there wasn't Torah, the world would no longer be sustained. If it's not for my covenant of day and night, then I wouldn't let the world stay in place. Now, what's Briti Yom Valaylo? That the Gemara tells us in other places refers to Torah, because it says that you must involve yourself. You must be asuk in Torah Yom Valaylo. So what is Briti Yom Valaylo? That refers to Torah. So without the Torah, the world would not be nitkayim. When it says, when a person's younger, when a person learns, he does it for his own benefit, for the benefit of his own soul. But when he becomes greater, then he does it, he does it for the benefit of the whole world, or to nitkayim ha'aretz. It's a process of maturity, it's a process of a person developing themselves. At first they take care of their own nefesh, and then once they're through with that, then they can help the whole world. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says that, according to what Rabbi Elazar says, that Yom Tov is a Rishut. So now, what's interesting here is that Rabbi Elazar believes Yom Tov is a Rishut, even though we said before that Rabbi Elazar agrees that you need Chatzi Lechem by Shavuot. So there is one Yom Tov where Elazar does believe that there is a mitzvah to eat. The Tosafot points out over here, he must believe that that's Misavara. He doesn't really have the Pasuk. It's a logical argument that you should eat on that day, but not from a mitzvah from the Pasuk. So now he says, according to Rabbi Elazar, says it's Rishut, eat Lei Pircha. We have a break to his Kav HaChomer. On Yom Tov where heter ochel nefesh is permitted, there's sun melachot that are permitted, even though it's a reshut. Lohiter shvut shima. They did not permit shvut. They did not permit isurei derabanan, which Rabbi Elazar agrees with. Shabbat shlo yibit derabai la melacha shel mitzvah. On Shabbat, where they only allowed a melacha of mitzvah, not melachet reshut, only melacha of mitzvah like the korban haPesach. Inu din shlo tatir shvut shima. Certainly the shvut should not be included with it or should not be permitted with it. So Rabbi Elazar can answer that pircha and say that shvut the mitzvah differently. The shvut when it comes to a mitzvah is very different. When we're talking about Yom Tov, that's shvut the reshut. So over there, it's not permissible. But over here, we're talking about a shvut the mitzvah. Shvut the mitzvah has a much higher level. And since you're doing a mitzvah, we're going to allow you to violate the isurei dirabanan. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Elazar, umali imdachu machshiri mitzvah shel achar shchita at Shabbat, did avilei mitzvah. What's the difference to the fact that you allow machshirei mitzvah to be done after shkita, meaning that you allow certain things to be violated after the shkita, even though they're not the shem shemayim, even though they're for your benefit and not for the benefit of shemayim, because the mitzvah is already done. Certainly the machshirei mitzvah that come beforehand, which are really only for the shem shemayim, are done for the heavenly need, certainly they should be docha at the Shabbat. Meaning, at shkita is the point we know for sure, everybody agrees that it's docha at the Shabbat. After Shkita, Mishnah tells us that you're allowed to do Michui Kravav, which is an Isur Doraita, because it is permissible afterwards, the Chachamim say, because it's part of the mitzvah to preserve the Korban HaPesach. Now, the preservation of the Korban HaPesach is for the benefit of the head yoke. That's for your benefit, so that you can eat afterwards. For Mina Shamayim, they don't need it anymore. You put the Chalavim, you put the blood on his back, we're done with it. So there, you allow that afterwards to work, even though it's not for the Shamayim. Then certainly beforehand, before the Shkita, preparations that allow you to do Shkita, certainly those should be permissible. Well, Tosafot over here thinks that the Machshire Mitzvah after Shkita is referring to Chekter Chalavim here and not to Michui Kravav, because Michui Kravav is obvious, as I mentioned before, something that cannot be done before Yom Tov, and that's why it's different. But Chekter Chalavim, which can be done after Shabbat, and we're still burning them on Shabbat, as we said before, that's something that can prove to you that there is a violation of Shabbat that is not necessarily necessary here. Amalo Rabbi Akiva, Tamali imdachu machshiri mitzvah shel achar shkita at Shabbat, shrei dachta shkita at Shabbat. No, there's a difference, because we allow the machshiri mitzvah after shkita to be docha at Shabbat, because shkita already permitted it. Tamai yidachu machshiri mitzvah shel shkita at Shabbat, shlo dachta shkita at Shabbat. Beforehand, you haven't done the shkita yet, so we're not going to permit it. Meaning that once the shkita is done, and we've now broached the Shabbat because of the permission that we have to do shkita on Shabbat, so then we've already opened the floodgates. So once we open the floodgates, we say, okay, now we've permitted Shkita, we're going to permit everything that is a derivative of that Shkita, including Michui Kravav. Something that's caused by the Shkita, that we will take care of, or we allow you to do on Shabbat in order to take care of the animal, because that's something you couldn't have taken care of beforehand, and it is a derivative of the Heter of the Shkita, and therefore we'll allow it. Things that come before the Shkita are things that most likely could have been done before Shabbat. And number two is, we have yet to allow the heter of being toche Shabbat. So we're not going to allow other things to break Shabbat until the Shechita comes, which is the matir over here. So Rabbi Akiva says, that logic doesn't work, Rabbi Eliezer. Davar Acher, I have another way to undermine your logic, Rabbi Eliezer. Shema imtza zevach pasul. Because the possibility is you do the Shechita and you find that the zevach is pasul. V'nimtza mechalal to Shabbat mafreya. Then retroactively, everything you did beforehand was a violation of Shabbat. Shalol l'shem mitzvah. So Rabbi Eliezer says back to me, Hachi mishkat namilu nishkat. And you shouldn't be allowed to shecht at all, because maybe you'll find it's a treifa and it's no good. So maybe you shouldn't do shechita, because that would be a violation of Shabbat that's not necessary. Shema yimtza zevach pasul, v'nimtza mechalal to Shabbat l'mafreya. Elaha amar le'bereisha. This logic he gave him in the first place, which is, no, you can't do it because maybe the shechita won't work. And therefore everything you did beforehand would be a chilul Shabbat that wasn't necessary. And Rabbi Elazar says back to him, if that's the case, then you shouldn't do shechita as well, because shechita has a risk involved. There's an inherent risk that it may not work out. So you shouldn't do shechita as well. Uparches, that's Rabbi Elazar's question, that he broke up that logic of Rabbi Akiva. V'hadar meleihach. Then he gave him the second logic, which is the first statement that we had from Rabbi Akiva, is the mali imdachu. There's a difference between post-shkita than pre-shkita. Post-shkita, where the shkita is already, we're already matir the violation of Shabbat to do the Shechita, then we have to deal with the derivatives of that. That's permissible. But before we do the Shechita, I'm not going to allow you to do things because we have yet to allow the violation of Shabbat. Okay, we'll stop over here.